Very touching song. He bore it all. And we thank him for it. God has watched over us, blessed us to come again to the house of worship, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth. Calling your attention tonight to the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. It's been a glorious day today, and we thank God for it. We've come together this morning and worshiped him in spirit and in truth. And again, we have the opportunity of doing the same thing. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, children, brothers, sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or, what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while he is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, 25 through 33. Principally, we want to talk about God and the fact that God can't fail. There is no failure in God. There is sometimes pressure regarding unfinished chores. One of the most insistent pressures in life is unfinished chores. Hardly do we embark on some project before some meddling voice begins to ask, Do you think? What do you think? Do you think we will ever bring it off? Do you think you will ever get it done? Let us notice for a few minutes, the substance of these two illustrations given here by Jesus Christ and Luke. So likewise, there was a man who had a building, a mind to build, had building on his mind, building an elaborate building that would get him on his way to tremendous accomplishments and perhaps manifest his worth materially. He started on the project, worked on the project, but whatever happened, he did not finish. Whatever happened did not permit him to finish. Perhaps there may have been a crop failure, economy turned down? Bible doesn't say. Jesus gives the illustration. But he doesn't give the why of the situation and the circumstances. At any rate, the man started, but he did not finish. And Jesus mentions the mocking of a crowd. Secondly, there is a king who has great ideas about conquering, going to war against another king who has 20,000 soldiers to his 10,000 soldiers. Will he not count the cost? Will he not sit down and determine if he can be successful with 10,000 going upon he who has 20,000? And if not, his decision is to negotiate, to try to make peace with the other soldiers. The meaning in both illustrations is rather clear. But what points is our Lord and Savior Jesus using these two illustrations to make? One of the points that Jesus is making is that there will be challenges. There will be challenges of dire straits if you're going to follow me. It's not going to be peaches and ice cream all the time and following me. It may even cost you your life. I just want to be clear, and I want you to know what it is to follow me. There will be challenges of dire straits and follow me. Jesus is not saying don't come. No, no. But to those who come, he wants you to know what you're coming to. Anybody still on the line? Following me. I want you to know that following me is not going to be a cakewalk. Jesus wants his followers to come, to follow him. But he wants those who come following him, he wants them to know who he is and what he is all about and what kind of challenges they may face. Recognize what it is and who it is that you're following. Make sure that this is what you want to do. It takes courage. It takes a fit and set mind to follow me. And most of all, those of you who come to follow me, it may cost you your life. If you're following me, your life may be at stake. Once you've determined that, once you understand that, and you still want to follow me, be sure that you understand that there is a price that has to be paid to follow me. The Son of the Living God is saying you must give all you have. You must be willing to give all that you have and all that you are in following me. Because there can be no failure. I didn't come to fail. There can be no failure in the building and the battling regarding my cause. I have left heaven. I have come down to earth on a mission of my Father's. And I don't plan
I don't plan.
You know what I'm going with the next word is? I don't plan to fail. Let us look at the story from another point of view. Let us see if it as a story. It is a story about Jesus Christ or God. But realistically, it's about both. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows that this is going to be the last time that he will go to Jerusalem. He knew he was not far removed from the cross that he had come to bear. His final test, his final trial, he knows it, and yet he is moving forward. Without hesitation, without reservation, and without fear, I'm doing my Father's will. Jesus wants his disciples, and especially his chosen apostles. He wants us and them to understand that what God has begun, God can finish. God can bring it to pass. He wants his disciples to understand what's really happening, what's really going on. Yes, my popularity right now, it's waning. Yes, I'm on my way to Jerusalem without hesitation. But I want you to understand and remember the question that I asked of you earlier. Which of you remember? None of you would start building a tower you knew you could not finish. None of you would be foolish enough to start a war you knew you had no chance of winning. Neither would my Heavenly Father. You get the point? God has the means to win. And God is winning. I don't know if there's a song, or I'm just thinking that there's a song that says that there's no failure in God. Jesus did not wonder about his Heavenly Father. Jesus never spoke a word he had to take back regarding his Father. He never took a step that he had to retrace. He took opposition like water running off of his back. He took opposition in stride, as long as I'm doing my Father's will. Oh, church. Also, I want you to note his calmness. Even at his cross, and now on his way to be killed. In Luke 23, verses 27 and 28, and there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves, and weep for your children. I know what I'm doing, and I know I'm pleasing my Heavenly Father, and there's no turning back. Church, if by the grace of God we have a fraction of this kind of confidence that Jesus exemplifies. We can sleep well every night. We can have peace in our soul that passeth all understanding, because we know that we are following a God, doing His will, and He's a God who cannot fail. Beware. Life on earth, it's really not about us. It's all about God. Jesus came to earth. It really wasn't about Jesus. It was about God. Therefore, when we read and study the Bible, Jesus' sojourn, His attitude, stop worrying. Stop fretting. Our life is not about us. Maybe you didn't hear that. Our life is not about us. We gave our life to God when we obeyed the gospel. Therefore, our life is all about pleasing God. Jesus came down. He understood His mission. It's all about doing my Father's will. When we obey the gospel, prayerfully, we understood. It's all about now pleasing God. The purpose of the whole thing with God is to reverse the sentence of our first Adam. God plucked the fairest flower that blossomed in His garden and sent His only begotten Son into the world that He might complete His mission. We are those people, sons and daughters of God. Jesus came, lived, bled, died, and was able to go on back to glory because He did His Father's will. God has given us the best that He has. God has also given us the best life plan that humans can have. Eternal life. His plan is foolhardy. To depart from God's life plan for us, you can't win. You lose. And you lose forever. As the children would say, you lose big time and life everlasting. Think about it. Think about it. Would you start something and knew even before you started you could not win? Highly improbable. Do you believe that God, Jesus Christ, had that much sin? That much sense? Neither would God. God would not have started this world, created humanity, designed a method, sent His Son all the way from glory to put the finishing touches on the finishing method to reconcile humanity to Himself. And knew in advance that he couldn't win. Never would God have done such a thing. God is going to win. He is winning. God is not unwise. No matter how you think things are going, no matter what you hear on television, no matter how much noise Satan's crowd might make, God would not have started this universe and all that is in it if he knew in advance that there was any possibility that he could not win. The God that we serve, he is omniscient, meaning he is all wise. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And he's omnipresent everywhere. God is. So no matter how it may look to you, how it may look to others, God is winning this battle. Would you begin a war before you knew beforehand you could not win the war? God is smarter than us in that regard. God is winning this challenge, and we are blessed by the grace of God to be a part of his plan. We see, church, that a major portion of this world is content to ignore God and to ignore his word. Maybe you are rather slack in your response to his plan for your life. Maybe even feeling sorry for God or having pity for God. Don't. There are many things God asks us for in the scriptures. Our faith, our love, our trust, our prayers. But nowhere, I don't know if that's good English, but nowhere does God ask for our pity. God can take care of himself. He created the whole wide world before he created the first human being. It was all finished. Didn't ask for help. He designed humanity's salvation before the foundation of the world. He didn't ask us to help because we didn't exist. Our song is always, It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer, not God. The women following Jesus on his way to his cross, they wept. On his way to be crucified, women in the crowd crying, Jesus turns to them. In those circumstances, weep not for me. He has concern regarding them. His way to the cross, daughters of Zion, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. God has no unfinished business. Jesus was doing kingdom business. There are no unwon wars when it comes to God. We are encouraged as sons and daughters of God today to lose ourselves. And as being members of this indestructible kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In closing, The Bible says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, known unto God are all things. In other words, there is nothing that God does not know. And in Hebrews chapter 4, commencing with verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, that is not made known in his sight. But with God, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. Seeing then, verse 14, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. No quitting. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of infirmity, but was at all points tempted and tested like we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. So he says, let us Did you hear that? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As children of God, we always, regardless of the situation or the circumstances, have that grace. The grace of help from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, the operative word, phrase, be thou faithful, be faithful unto death. And God will give you a crown of life. So no matter what may come, what may go, no matter what your situation or your circumstances, we sing a song, hold. You know where I'm going? Hold to God's unchanging hands. Yes, we face challenges as we march towards Zion. It's the Father's will. But he has gone before us. And because of that, he has all the answers. He has all the answers to our consequences. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Brother Brown, I'd like to sing that song for our closing song. Hold to God's unchanging hands. And we thank God for his Bible, and particularly for the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Our forefathers. And God was with them every step of the way. And God is not prejudiced. We hold to his unchanging hand, and we'll be with him as we make our sojourn here on planet Earth, regardless of the situations or the circumstances. If you're here tonight in need of prayer, you come, and we'll talk to our Heavenly Father on your behalf. If you're here tonight and you walk contrary to his will, wisdom says, return home, renew your covenant, rededicate your life to your Lord and Savior. Oh, church. And if you know the will of God for your life, but you have not accepted His will, be foolish no longer. Come tonight. Give your life to Jesus Christ, believing with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed our Savior and the Son of God. Repenting of your sins, godly sorrowful for the things you've done contrary to the will of God. Come tonight, acknowledging the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Confession. And be buried in water baptism. Be buried in water baptism tonight for every sin you have ever committed, and to be adopted at that very moment as an adopted child of God. That's the privilege, the honor, and the glory that God offers to those who are yet in their sin. If you're already in the body, but you have not been faithful and loyal, renew your covenant and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, asking your brothers and sisters to pray for you. As we together stand, you make your choice.
Time is filled with swift transition.
Oh, yes.
None of earth unmoved shall stand.
Yes.
Oh.